Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. As you know, this is our discussion show. We talk about all different topics related to the afterlife. Today, we're going to be talking about dream visits. Are they real or imagined? And we're here with our regular panel, Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg, and I'm Bob Ginsberg, and we're ready to talk to you in a couple of minutes. And there's a lot of exciting things we can talk about relating dreams in general and dream visits. But before we get started, Fran's going to get us, I hope, caught up in current events.
Okay. First, our sponsor for this show tonight is LNR Productions, and they can be found at lnrproductions.com. And we want to always talk about how you can let us know that you like Signs of Life Radio. There are many ways. The first one might be go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. That's simple enough.
That's easy.
Yeah. Two, you can use the donate button on any one of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There also is a space to add a comment on what you love and what you might not like so much about the show. And three, remember us when you shop. When you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 1,000 online stores that you are very familiar with, like Expedia, Fandango, Priceline, Radio Shack, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Now, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, you can contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or you could call the office at 631-425-7707. Reservations for all of our events can be made through our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or if you are listening to this show and do not have a computer, again, you could call the office at 631-425-7707. Our annual fundraiser, Night of Mediums, is a much sought-after annual event. It fills up quickly each year, and this year it is set for April 12, 2013, at the Melville Marriott in Melville, New York, on Long Island. Member-only sales are complete, and there are only 3 tables left that will be filled by both members and non-member reservations. We also offer full table discounts, but again, there's only 3 tables left for that. Check the website for more information, and the link has been placed on the first load page, so you don't have to go looking for it on the events page. Our grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 26th to 28th in Chester, Connecticut, for an intimate group of just 50 people interested in working with professionals in various fields such as dream communication and spirit communication, in an effort to work through the grief process and to learn methods of maintaining the relationships with those who have crossed to the other side. We are presently taking a list of those interested in first notification. Once the event details are set and we're ready to offer the spots to our members first. So just go to the website and send us an email. And those are all my announcements for tonight.
All right, and we're talking about tonight about dream visits and dreams in general, and specifically when it comes to dream visits, are they real or do we imagine them? I guess a good place to start would be how we would define a dream. I guess if you ask sort of a mainstream scientists or doctors, they would tell you that dreams are images or ideas that come to you during the REM stage of sleep, and that it's a way that we tap into our own unconscious. But they, I don't think, entertain the possibility that we're tapping into a collective consciousness or a collective unconscious. And we know, because we've been discussing this in the past, a lot of these, you know, the ancient civilizations thought otherwise. You know, going back to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians thought the dreams were like oracles. You know, that they would write them down on the ancient papyrus, and they would pay great attention, you know, to dreams. But when we talk about dreams, especially with dream visits and other types of dreams, I think that we're all in agreement that we can tap into greater other realms and a greater an information storehouse, you know, past, present, and future. And do you think that we were hardwired or designed to do this? You know, I mean, if we think about it, I mean, is that our way? Certain people that are clairvoyant are able to do this. But for those of us that aren't, maybe this is the way that we're supposed to communicate. You have any?
That could be true. I mean, it's sort of a rudimentary way of, look, you have this ability. And I've never really thought about that, but why not? We're so interesting in our makeup as it is. And if we came here with this blueprint that some talk about, I think that would make sense. I do think, and I think something else we would all probably agree about, I mean, we talk about dream visits, but we also would have to say often our dreams are not anything that significant, but more our brains just trying to assimilate the various events of our day. And I think
Absolutely. Sometimes
when you wake up the next day, you could go, oh, well, I probably dreamed about so-and-so because I saw them yesterday, and then we were, you know, and you just put it all together. But the visits are really unique, I think.
Yeah, and I think the vast majority of dreams are what you just described. I mean, just thinking back, last night I had a dream. I mean, I have dreams, I guess, just about every night, if you do as well. But they seem to be like what you described. I mean, it made absolutely no sense to me. You know, I'm in a hotel, and I'm trying to get up and down in these old ratty elevators, you know, and when I wake up in the morning, I mean, the dream was vivid, but what could it possibly mean? You know, I can't figure it out. Maybe it does, you know.
I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily something we should be interpreting. You know, maybe it's what you say. The whole process that we work all day long and then we go to sleep at night, we were told is to recharge our battery. But maybe there's a spiritual battery that gets recharging as well. And we know that those special dreams come in during only that REM stage, when you're first falling asleep and when you're first getting up.
Right.
So anything that occurs in between, there's no need to interpret. And speaking of interpreting, I don't know how our listeners feel about this, or you guys, but in some of the psychic development classes I've taken, they tell us, go get a good dream book. And I just really don't like
all those interpretations. I don't really think I can, you know, I just don't buy into that. I think it's, although we talk about our mediums using signs, but I think the signs are unique to them.
Right.
They see something.
And I think that's true. In fact, a doctor who has been a guest on this show, Dr. Moss, has written some books on dreams, and I read one of them, and he quite emphatically says, throw away those books that try to tell you what everything means, that you should rather, if you want to know what your dreams mean, first of all, write them down as soon as you get up, and then look at the patterns over weeks and months of what your dreams, what are coming up in your dreams, and then ask somebody else, if you dreamt about this, what would this mean to you, and try to find out what it means to you specifically, and that each sign in a dream is a sign for the individual.
I would agree with that. And, you know, do you ever think about how long dreams last? I mean, what would you say? I mean, if you look at the textbooks, they'll say dreams last anywhere from a few seconds to, like, 15 or 20 minutes. You know, I guess that maybe that's the stage of REM. But sometimes the dreams seem like they're going on all night, don't they?
Yeah,
that's cool. But, like, our thoughts, like, when your life flashes before your eyes, or you know, you're about to do something, and then you think of all the ramifications of that, and that's only seconds. So maybe our dreams are like
Do you have, when you have a, let's differentiate, what we call a regular dream versus a dream visit, do you have recall of them in the morning, or you do?
Yeah, I've had a few, and again, this has been reinforced by what I've read, that a visitation dream is extremely vivid, and that you do remember it much more clearly than you do your regular dreams.
Absolutely, yeah.
I have trouble a lot of times. I wake up, I know I've dreamt something, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Right.
And and I think that's one of the keys that you're having a visitation, that it is more vivid, and you remember it longer.
Well, we're going to talk more in depth about these dream visits, because it's so important to so many people, and we have a couple of interesting callers on the line. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to get into this discussion of dream visits and perhaps how we could tell the difference between a dream visitation and a regular dream. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At L&R Productions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. It's a good time to go to our phones and pick up one of our listeners. And I think we have Rita on the line.
Oh, yes. Rita is on line 4.
Rita?
Hi. Hello.
Is this Rita Dwyer?
It surely is.
The one and only? Well,
yeah,
for those...
one and only.
I should mention
the one and only major fan of Bob and Fran and FFF Forever Family Foundation.
Aww. Oh, we thank you. And you know, for our listeners that are not aware, you're talking to somebody that is kind of a pioneer in dream work. Rita was a founding member of the International Association for study of dreams. And I know she lectures and she writes all about the subject, and we consider her to be an authority. But most of all, we consider her to be a warm, spiritual person who's full of wisdom. So
that's right.
So we appreciate you calling in. And you know what I'd like to ask you, if I may, is a lot of people will say, well, how do I know when I'm getting a visitation? How do I know it's real? How do you respond when people ask you that question?
Well, first of all, it's up to the person to really know within their own hearts, selves, souls, if that is true. Although any dream that comes bringing us some information or something that we need to know. And so looking at it in that way, you can say, you know, how does this affect me? Does it really feel right? Why did I get this? One of the good things to do is to program yourself to say that you would like to have dreams of visits from those people whom you love. And we're always connected by heart and by love. And when the messages are supposed to come, they will. I would like to recommend a book that has just been translated into English, but it's a book called Dreams and Death by Nicole Graton and Monique Seguin from Canada. And in it, there's a beautiful, beautiful story of a woman who has dreams that are preparatory to the death of someone loved to her. But then through it, there's a whole following of his death, her acceptance of that, and I think our dreams bring us what we know what we need to know, and if we are open to it, they provide that with us if we proceed with calm and quiet. And not be too grabby, say, I need to hear from you now, but rather to say, okay, I'm ready to accept you when you're ready to come to me.
I think that's good advice, you know, what you just said, because a lot of people seem to want to communicate with their loved ones in dreams so desperately that they kind of try to force it, and it becomes, overwhelming. But I guess your advice would be, as you just said, just remain open. Don't try to force it, and it'll come when the time is right.
When the time is right, and being open and aware, and much of what happens with people who come through as the ones who have loved us and who are not with us any longer, they come in a loving way and not in a frightening way. They're peaceful. Oftentimes, they ask something of us, or they bring information, or they're trying to make closure. But it's for us to be open in a loving and accepting way, and not just to go, hoop-de-doo, I heard from so-and-so, and I'm really happy. Because it's nice that they do, and it's joyful. But it's also something that is, as you said earlier, dreams come in a spiritual way as well. And because our loved ones are in spirit, this is how they come. And they can't always use the energies they have that they've taken with them. They can't always use the way we might say, signal me. But there are all kinds of ways in which they can use the energy to do other things, like turn on a light or, give us a shiver so that we know they're there. It's our awareness and our openness that helps them to be more and more able to come to us.
Mm. Would you say that more often than not, when people have these visitations, that it's simply an appearance to let the people know that they're still there and that they love them, as opposed to a specific message?
Bob, all the messages come in different ways, and sometimes it's just a comforting message saying, I'm here, I'm okay, that's fine. Sometimes they bring real words of wisdom. Sometimes they come in the dream, which we think are dreams, but there's a real feeling of their presence, their physical presence, so that it's possible within that state of altered consciousness to feel a hug or closeness or smell a smell or be so aware that they're with us. There's no doubt. And when people have that kind of dream, it's such a blessing, and they are so uplifted by it. Doesn't happen all the time, but I see in dream groups where I follow people for months on end, and they have someone who's passed, let's say, from a suicide, and some need is there to make, a peaceful closure. It comes over sometimes months, sometimes years, but ordinarily it comes in a way that is when the dreamer is ready. And it works in a beautiful, flowing way that brings this joy. And yet, it's also possible to get back to that again if you know the space and know how to be open to it.
Hi, Rita. This is Tom, and I have an idea that I've been bouncing around that, we're here talking about what we feel about dreams, how we interpret dreams, and what dreams mean to us. As physical beings, but it occurs to me that we are eternal souls, that our lives go on for thousands of years, whereas our physical being is just here for 100 years. And instead of looking at our dreams from the eyes of our physical world, does it make more sense to think of our dreams from the other way, that it's our eternal soul that is basically checking in with us at night and making sure that we're doing what we came here to do and that sort of thing, and just sort of keeping in touch so that we maintain something when we pass over and go into the next realm. Do you have any feeling on that? If that sounds...
Oh, I do indeed. Tom, that's a beautiful thing you've just said. We have 1 foot in this physical reality for a brief time. Our other foot, and I'm using that as a metaphor, obviously, not a foot. We have the other part of us who is eternally in spirit. And these merge together throughout our lifetime, or lifetimes, if you believe in our lifetimes. I'm not trying to sell anything here. I'm simply saying that we are spiritual beings, basically. But we're living the spirit, physical world here, just here and now. And so we are so now accustomed to the scientific way of looking at things. How does your brain work? You know, what works? What makes you better? What makes you feel better? That's not what is beyond us is all about. It's about peace and love and joy and light and coming together in ways that are so beautiful in dreams. And as we pay more attention to those, to our dreams and to our own spiritual ways of being in the world and being open to love and joy, I think that I may sound like Pollyanna, but believe me, it works.
But it's kind of like a message that we should take away from this is that, you know, people perhaps on this, in the physical realm are getting way too stressed out and serious about what this physical world is all about. And as you say, dreams are fun, dreams are peaceful, and maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing here on the physical plane, is enjoying the beauty and the fun of being here and not worry about the day-to-day that gets us bogged down, because in the long run it really is meaningless.
Well, you know, my feeling is every dream comes in service of wholeness and healing, and we are where we are right now for whatever reason. And so to survive here and to look for the highest and the best is a way to go, because it does bring us joy. Whenever we do nice things for other people, even if they don't appreciate it, we feel better about it. Realize that? It's kind of selfish on our part. But and we become more spiritually aware that we're not just this body. And the body goes away, but the soul lives on. And that is what conveys the love that we have for each other. As those people who have passed in our past, we're genetically attached to them. Many of us, if we're parents, our parents bring with us their memories and their past and their history. And this goes on for ages and ages back. So it's mind-boggling to think of all the stuff that can come to us. But it's also, what do we bring to it? Every dream comes in service of wholeness and healing. And look at that and look for a message, even if it's something simple like, I won't yell at my cat today because she's not coming up and sitting on my lap.
You didn't just mention the cat because of Fran, did you?
No. I'm sorry if I offended a cat. How about a dog?
No. It just gave us all a nice big chuckle.
Yeah, well, she brought home a new cat today. So she
Surprise!
Well, Rita, I want to thank you for calling in and sharing some of your wisdom with us for a few minutes. I know we could talk to you for hours, but that'll have to be a different show. But
I'm just really opinionated. I apologize for taking so long. You know me, you get me wound up, and I'll keep going.
That's what we love about you. So thanks again, and we hope to see you real soon, and take good care.
And I'm still listening to what's going on. I appreciate so much what you all are doing. Believe me. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rita.
Hi, Rita.
All right, take care. That is, you know, an interesting, you know, she always has an interesting perspective. And, you know, we kind of, as you were talking about, Tom, we like to pigeonhole these things and define them and break them apart. But it's all part of a greater universe. And then I wonder how people... in spirit, you know, are looking down and they kind of see our thoughts, you know, and they see this, you know, the dreams going on. And a lot of people, they think of their world, the spirit world, as the real world, and our physical world is the dream, you know. So I wonder if they have dreams of our physical world. You know,
there you go, applying our to the non-physical world again.
I would hope so.
We're not all that, are we?
Well, you know, I had just yesterday, I had a dream that made me, I guess, think about the things that I had mentioned before, and I was just on the cusp of waking up, and I knew I was still in a dream, and I often have dreams where I'm doing mundane things, or, you know, trying to get things into order and that sort of thing, and I realized in this dream that I had finally figured out how to get something just right, and as I was waking up, I'm thinking, well, it's very easy, and I'll remember it now so that when I wake up, I can tell people about it. And of course, when I woke up, it didn't make sense to me, and I didn't know exactly how to explain it, and then it was gone. But something right before I was conscious again, I said, oh, I've got to remember this. This is great.
Yeah.
And hopefully when I go back to sleep that I'll be able to...
I totally relate to what you say, and it happens to me all the time. You have these moments of clarity, and while I'm in the dream, and I say, wow, this is going to be great, you know, and I got to tell somebody about this, and it's going to make perfect sense, and it helps people. And then I wake up, and I say, oh, but that was a crock. You know? it's crazy, you know. It doesn't really mean anything.
But it's not. That's the whole thing. Again, you're applying the physical world to it.
Maybe.
You know, if we can, maybe it's part of the shift, but we have to learn to peel away all of this physical, cultural nonsense that has attached itself to us over the years.
Yeah. And something's watching over when you guys wake up and go, oh, I almost got him to get it.
And then, you know, in these visitation dreams, and we've mentioned it, you know, before, a lot of people describe it as being, you know, totally different from these jumbled dreams because they see their loved ones. Sometimes there's no message. Sometimes the loved one appears to them at an age, you know, just because somebody's mom passed away and she was very ill and suffering, and then she may appear as a 20, 25-year-old and exuberant and dancing, you know. And that's just the message. I'm here. It's great. You know, we still survive. You know, it's as simple as that. And other times there are specific, you know, I've had visitation dreams where I can converse, you know, and I can talk. I've had visitation dreams where it's tangible, I can hug, you know, and I can kiss, you know, and whatever. And people, you know, describe such things, you know, all the time. But it's clearly, at least in the ones I've had, there's no blurring. They're clearly defined. This is, you know, I mean, I know when I've had a visitation dream and I don't question it. I would imagine a lot of people do question it, you know, because, look, we're taught that these things may not be possible. A lot of people think that way, so they're always questioning. Same thing, people question when they go to a medium, people question when they have these visions, right? We're always questioning.
I have a question for you. I know we spoke recently about people having visits from their loved ones, and then maybe over time, they don't seem to be as frequent or at all. And I often thought it's because you're working yourself through the grieving process, and you just really don't need that connection. But with your dreams, I'm guessing, and I know that you had a lot of them about your daughter. Are they as frequent for you anymore?
No, and it's easy because I journal them all, so when I look back, there's a timeline, you know, and you could see where, you know, they get less and less, you know, frequent, you know, as time goes on. And I don't think that it has much to do about my grieving. It's just that I envisioned, you know, like my daughter in spirit, quite frankly, having a lot of other things, you know, to investigate and explore, you know,
and
her knowing that, you know, this little blip is nothing, you know, she'll see me again soon anyway, so why, you know, I'm not a basket case anymore, so leave me alone and let me do my thing, you know.
Enough of the hand-holding.
Right.
Right, I think that's what Rita was saying when she quoted that, I'm ready to accept you when you are ready to come to me. so it works the other way too. And then when you're finished coming to me and need to do whatever else it is that you might be doing, then you've done what you were supposed to do.
Can we take another call, and then we'll go
well, let's
break.
Take a quick call. Let's go to Gabriella on line three.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I am well. I'm so well. I love the discussion. I tuned in today simply because dreams are such a part of the life of the spirit as the physical body comes to close. The physical body ceases to take the lead, so to speak, and spirit takes over. And I see that in my patients. And it's absolutely amazing. Often, as you might imagine, they are in and out of a dream state. And it is so incredible if they tell you about it.
Mm. Well, and what are the after effects that you see in your patients, as you mentioned? I mean, do these, we hear about other spiritual kind of experiences with near-death experiences and out of bodies and so forth. So, having a dream visitation, does that bring with it these life-changing significant changes in one's perspective after they have such a visit?
In the end stage of life, what I am hearing from patients is they are experiencing, it's almost like they're more in the world of spirits than they are in the natural world. They're not interested in much of anything else. And so it's such an incredible gift when they share their dreams. Often their visions, and what I have found is that, and this has just happened a couple of days ago, so that was why when I saw what was coming up tonight, I said, I have got to call in. But this is really an amazing thing when they tell you that it's reassuring, one, so that's an incredible effect. It takes away some of that anxiety that often occurs at the end stage of life. And we're talking at the time when transition is coming, when it's, none of us can tell, but we know that it's soon.
Right.
And they are telling us, and they don't always tell us, I mean, I just happened to have one patient who told me of their dream, and it was an incredible thing because it was very reassuring to them. It was, I would say, it would fall into the category of a visitation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would call it, but I suspect that there are many other different kinds of dreams. I think most of the ones that occur at this stage of life tend to be reassuring. And it takes away their fears that they may have, that the body has fears. We know that. So often as a result of the illness and the disease. And these dreams are incredible for that reason.
Yeah. Well, I often think that, in these deathbed visions or, nearing death awareness or whatever you choose to call it, I don't even think of them as dreams. I just think of them as spirit coming to help them cross over. They're as real could be,
Well, I certainly would think. I mean, I think that is a good way to call them. Patients don't use that terminology, and they will say, well, I had a dream, and they will then describe the dream. But I do want to say that because dreams can indeed are often prophetic, and that's a, whatever that you want to use that term. But in the sense that I'm using it, is that it is a something of a prophecy of their life. So that's not an end stage life dream, but it occurs to people, and I've heard people talk about that. Mm. And I have had those as well. When you just know this is giving me a message, it's a warning, and it is in the language of the dream, so it can be kind of weird, you know, and you may or may, you know, you have the key. I mean, I think we all, each and every one of us has the key to our dreams, and no dream therapist can really give that to you. You have to kind of figure that out. But
well,
those are very...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I appreciate you calling in. You know, we had to move on, and we appreciate the work that you do with, you know, with the dying, and I'm sure that you give them great comfort, especially, you know, with your perspective and understanding. So thanks for calling in, and we hope to talk to you again.
Thank you indeed, and happy dreaming.
You too. Take care. We're going to go to another break. We come back, we're going to continue, and perhaps we can talk also a little bit more about these precognitive dreams, you know, and these premonitions. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I'm Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death.
For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about dreams and dream visits here. The number is 1-888-627-6008. You know, before I forget, there was a, when I was looking at the web yesterday, and I didn't see the article when it happened, but did you read about one of the parents, a mom of one of the children that were killed in the Newtown, you know, tragedy? Posner, and the little six-year-old boy that was killed, Noah, and she is getting dream visits from Noah. You know, she in the dream, Noah looked directly at his mother and said, "Mommy, I'm having fun." So there's an example just to let mom know I'm here. And I'm okay. The two big questions, you know. I'm still here, and I'm okay, you know.
And what's wonderful is that she's okay sharing that with everybody.
Yeah.
Well, when
that's
you
a wonderful thing.
And when Bob talked about precognitive dreams, have there been any reports of that, that any of the children had any upsetting dreams, or not even maybe upsetting, but just commenting on?
Yeah, well, you don't... You know, unfortunately, I mean, most of the children didn't survive, so we don't hear about that.
Well,
but
the parents,
yeah. I mean, I haven't heard anything, but it wouldn't surprise us.
Some reports way at the beginning when the parents reflected back on the last days or things that the kids did to indicate that they knew. I think there's even one in that same article that you read, where the morning that he left for school, I think he gave her an extra special hug.
Yeah, I did.
That he didn't normally do.
Right. Yeah. I've read some of those things. So, what do you think is when we have precognitive dreams? If you had to describe what you thought was going on, how would you describe it in your in limited physical terms?
Yes.
Well, virtual kibitzing is one.
Virtual kibitzing. That's,
well, you
that's
know,
a good one.
Melissa refers to this book. Testimony of Light, I believe it is, and in that book, they talk about how when you get into the other realm in your spirit, that you tend to gravitate towards other spirits of like-mindedness, like doctors will hook up with doctors, musicians will hook up with musicians, and the doctors on the spiritual side will continue what their studies were and their research and how to solve, you know, how did you could we solve that problem now that we're here and we have this extra knowledge. And I think some of those people probably pass the information along. And I can say this with somewhat certainty because there's Albert Einstein claims that he was given the theory of relativity in a dream. And you know, so where did that come from? And it connects with, well, there are spiritual engineers and mathematicians on the other side who said, knew he could understand it, and he'd remember it after he woke up, and they said, "Hey, Albert, you know, have you thought of this?" And he woke up and said, "Wow, now I see it."
Yeah.
And so I think there are things of that nature, certainly.
You're probably aware of this as a musician, but I never was, but I was reading that that's how McCartney wrote Let It Be. Have you heard that story?
I have, and Keith Richards wrote Satisfaction. He was dreaming it, and he woke up and immediately went, he kept a cassette player by his bed, and it's actually a funny story, which he tells in his book, where he got up and he played, got his guitar and he played the, you know, and then on the cassette, and then there's an hour of snoring right after it. But he got that first riff, and he woke up, and he wrote Satisfaction, which was their first number one hit, was number one for the year that year.
Well, McCartney said his mom came to visit him after she passed, and she told him that everything was going to be all right, and then she ended her conversation with the words, "Let it be," you know. Pretty interesting.
So then, just to clarify, so the doctors that are on the other side, just like the musicians that are on the other side, are there to help along those people who are open and in need of creativity for the work they're doing here.
Which gives us a little, I think, pumps us up a little bit that there is a relevance to this life, and what we do here on this plane does matter. I mean, we talked earlier about, well, we're only here for 100 years, so what does anything really matter? But the fact that Spirit is so anxious to help us with our evolution, I think is a lot. And one more music story, Paul Simon, when he wrote Bridge Over Troubled Water, wasn't necessarily a dream, but he said that the song came out fully blown in 5 minutes. So he didn't even have time to think about it. It just came out. And, you know, Bridge Over Troubled Water is one of the great songs of all time, as is Let It Be.
That was a good dream. And a profitable one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so.
do we have time?
We have time for one more caller. Okay. Let's take Wendy from Ohio. She's on line two.
Okay. Hello, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome
How are
to
you?
Life. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. We're getting a lot of snow right now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it may be coming your way.
Yeah, it is. Where are you located?
Ohio.
Cleveland. In Cleveland, right on Lake Erie.
Right.
Oh. Cold.
Yeah.
I spoke with Fran today. Did you have something that you'd like to share?
Yes, I'm 54 years old, and I've lost many people. My mom passed when I was 13, and my dad when I was 23. I had a boyfriend murdered in 1979, and the first love of my life died 2 years ago. He had pneumonia, and I get dream visits all the time. And
wow.
I know that they're not just, I'm not dreaming of something that we did together. I clearly can tell. I've been very open for a number of years, and it's such a remarkable experience, but I do believe that you have to really feel that you are open to receive these visits. My father forewarned me of something. He told me he would protect me. Whenever I see any of these people that I've mentioned in a dream, I was telling Fran today, I never see their mouths moving, but I can see them so crystal clear, and they look like they did, you know, maybe 20 or 30 years before they passed. And my father told me that he would protect me and my dog, and I was looking out of a window, and he kept telling me, just stay in the house, just stay in the house. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. And 2 weeks after that dream visit, I caught somebody trying to break into my neighbor's house right out of the same window that my father was visiting me in the dream.
Wow.
So, I mean, and I get the boyfriend that died almost 2 years ago, he comes to me weekly. Like, I see, I've been journaling everything. Sometimes I think that they do want us to know that they love us and that they're watching over us, but I think sometimes they're trying to make up for things that they didn't finish before they passed. So it didn't, like when Jim passed, it didn't mean that I needed, you know, to him to come through this often, but he tells me things. One time I even heard him as plain as day, like I wasn't even asleep yet. I heard his voice say something to me, and so I keep track of all of these visits that I have from them, and it's very calming to me. My sister is extremely frustrated. She has not had a visit from any of our family members, But for me, it's not unusual. It's unusual if I don't get a visit from them.
Well, I wish we had more time, and I thank you for calling in. I'm sure it gives many people hope if they haven't that they if they're open to it, it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly have been an open channel for all of these experiences. And how wonderful is that?
And probably writing the book.
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
Keeping a dream journal is an excellent way to encourage visits and other things, because they like to know on the other side that their message is going to get through. We think they can do whatever they want, but apparently what I've heard is it takes energy on their side and an effort, and they're not going to expend that energy or effort unless they know that you're going to hear it.
Right. Yes. Well, thanks for calling in, Wendy, and we hope to speak with you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Andy O'Brien, Laura Lynn Jackson, Linda Melissa Gould, Tanya Cash, Miriam Pierzga, Tracy Lee Nash, Flora Prisco, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Barron, Wendy Lippo, Vicky Steffi, Nancy Scheel, Barbara Russell, Tina Jocelyn, Deb Martin, Tim Donahue, and Francis Mastracco. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
Sweet dreams.